Steve Dale's here in the studio.
Hello.
And can you introduce our guest on the phone?
Yes, I will. In fact, she is the immediate past president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, Dr. Lori Teller.
Good evening, Dr. Teller.
Hi. Thanks for having me tonight.
Sure. So, what was that music?
Yeah.
All right.
So marimba?
No. Well, I don't know what it is exactly, but I'll tell you where I got it. So you wanted to talk about, amongst other things, telehealth for animals.
Like, yeah.
Getting a vet, what would the term be, virtually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I decided, well, I've not really heard of that. So I just went to YouTube and typed in, you know, Televet, and that is music from one of the
providers.
Yeah, from one of the some of the companies or vets or whatever put up just a slide, so to speak, or you know, a sign, and then there's music running. So every break, coming out of every break this hour,
no,
we're going to hear music from various Televet sites around the globe, literally.
You do have the best producer. However, this is not always the best idea. So let me begin, and Dr. Teller, you can pick it up from where I drop it off here. You can purchase a car, and with that car you get all these extras. One might be telehealth or virtual care for your pet for a year.
Wait a minute, from buying a car?
Yes, from buying homeowner's insurance, which may include coverage for your dog, but maybe you don't even have a dog and have two cats.
Wow, I never even thought of homeowner's insurance for the dog.
No, you don't get it separate. It's being provided as an extra for all of these things that you buy.
Fido's in good hands with the old
whoever. It seems like a good idea because people more than ever before want to know what's happening with their pet. It can be difficult to get in to see a veterinarian. However, I have concerns about it, and I know Dr. Teller, maybe you can jump in right here.
Yes. So telemedicine can be amazing as an adjunct for care for your pet. So let's say you take your dog or your cat to the veterinarian. Maybe it has a skin infection, and your veterinarian wants to follow up in a couple of weeks. Great opportunity to use telemedicine to see how your pet is responding to the treatment offered. But if your pet has a skin infection and you don't have a relationship with a veterinarian and you just go online with one of these services that maybe came along with your home insurance, that veterinarian doesn't have a relationship with you, and it can be challenging to examine your pet on a video screen, particularly if your pet's not very cooperative, and you're really just not going to get the best diagnosis or the most appropriate care when it's done that way.
So let me offer an example here, John. Let's say, and Dr. Keller, this is for you to answer. Let's say the complaint, the concern, the problem is my cat has been throwing up in the middle of the night. My cat is 16 years old, and my cat doesn't have any history of any GI issues. And it turns out the cat does. 8 years ago, 9 years ago, and 10 years ago, does have a history of GI issues. The owner either didn't connect the dots or simply forgot about it because it's been so long. People can't often describe very well the history of their animals. They may not completely understand what the veterinarian said all those many years ago or many months ago even. And to me, and this is Dr. Teller's expertise, but actually knowing the pet, having experience with that pet, having the records in front of you so you can look at that history is irreplaceable, actually. And knowing the pet parent matters, too. So, Dr. Teller, can you pick up on what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. So important to have a relationship where a veterinarian knows your pet's history. And say you've even moved, just having access to those records can really help avoid repeating tests that may not need to be done, and certainly can help avoid inappropriate prescribing of medications. The other thing that's really important with the example that Steve has shared is that cats and dogs do everything possible to hide their symptoms. So a cat may not have been feeling well for a long time before the vomiting became readily apparent. And people like to compare our pets to taking care of young children. But I have yet to see an infant, and I'm a mom, try to hide the symptoms. If they have abdominal pain, they're screaming. So there's a big difference, and owners are really good at knowing that there's something wrong with their pet. If an owner brings their pet in or reaches out to me because something is off, I totally believe them. But they're not always accurate at figuring out what those signs and symptoms mean because dogs and cats really tried to hide them.
Steve Dale, and with us on the phone is Dr. Lori Teller. And we started out talking about something that I wasn't even aware of, and that's virtual online vets. And that was a clip from one of the YouTube videos of some company. I didn't want to put any company's name.
Because I probably would not be a fan of the company.
No,
I don't know.
Right. But what strikes me is I wasn't aware of this, number one. And how much does it cost? I mean, is that a factor?
You know, I'll answer that. First of all, there is a need for virtual medicine. More than ever before, the human-animal bond is more intense than it's ever been. And, John, there are more pets right now at this very second in America than ever before in our history. At the same time, for a variety of different reasons, fewer veterinary professionals, in part because of the pandemic, mm-hmm. in part just because of retirements, in part because not enough veterinary schools. All of that, incidentally, which Dr. Teller could talk more about, is being addressed. But nevertheless, in many places, particularly urban areas, it is hard to get in to see a veterinarian. Or if you live in, I don't know, Armpit, Iowa, maybe you live 300 miles away from the closest veterinarian.
Right.
So now we have the ability to do things virtually, and as Dr. Teller described and will do more so, that can be wonderful if there is a patient-client relationship, which is key, with that veterinary professional. So imagine this, and then I want Dr. Teller to jump in, but here you are, you're talking to a veterinary professional. It turns out that professional can be out of the country.
I have an example coming up.
Do you really?
Yeah, I sure do.
Oh, you're so good. All right. Or may not be licensed not only in the United States, but in your state, which means you have no legal recourse if that veterinarian is not licensed in your state, or no recourse at all, potentially, or is prescribing, as Dr. Teller mentioned, a pharmaceutical that might not quite be right? Or what if that person takes the pharmaceutical that is actually meant for their animal? Or that pharmaceutical probably shouldn't be prescribed in the first place because that's not even supposed to happen in the first place legally. Dr. Teller, before you show me what you want to show me about the international way, can you jump in there?
Yeah, it's definitely a concern for a lot of us. So one of the amazing benefits of telemedicine is the ability to triage. So if it's one of these rural patients, like somebody that may be 300 miles from a veterinarian, or if you're having a hard time getting in to see a veterinarian, telemedicine can do a tremendous job of triaging to determine, you know, this is really something that could wait a couple of days because almost anybody can get in to see a veterinarian in 48 hours. Recent studies have shown us that. Or it's truly an emergency and you really need to take these steps and then you need to drive those 300 miles to go see a veterinarian. Because if it's something that's truly emergent like that, there's nothing we're going to be able to really do to help your patient, to help your pet over the duration.
So the occurrence, the accident, whatever the event that would require immediate veterinarian attention, and you're miles away from anyone, and you got to do this right away. These online veterinarians are available immediately? I mean,
yeah.
So there are Yeah, there are a lot of triage services that are available. Some clinics use them to help cover calls to do the triage. So if you're a solo practitioner in a very rural area, you may have one of these triage services. So they're not doing an actual diagnosis or prescribing medications, but they're helping to determine, yes, your pet is really sick. We're going to reach out to your veterinarian to come in and see your pet because this really is an emergency, or we recommend that you go to an emergency clinic and have your pet seen immediately.
Well, not only that, but the online vet doesn't know your pet, so to speak. Doesn't know its history.
That's what we're saying.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the concern about a diagnosis. They cannot, and Dr. Teller, you can do so much better than this than I, but if you cannot actually touch the pet, if you have no history with that pet, no idea really what the records accurately are, that's got to be impossible in most cases to actually diagnose.
Absolutely. Doctor?
So like poison control would be an example. If your pet got into something and you don't know if it was toxic or if the amount that it ate was toxic, then having poison control help triage your pet to determine, yes, you need to go do something right now, or no, that wasn't a toxic dose, or no, you can wait and observe your pet. So like xylitol would be an example, the artificial sweetener. If your dog got into a pack of sugar-free gum that had xylitol in it, or you gave it some peanut butter and didn't realize it had xylitol in it, you're going to want to reach out and find out, does my pet need to be seen right now? And the answer with xylitol is almost always going to be yes, because it's so toxic.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, xylitol is an artificial sweetener that, as Dr. Teller described, is in sugarless gum, but also in, for example, brownies. So you want to lose some pounds, not you, John. You don't need to.
Oh, of course.
No,
thank
you
thank
do
you,
not.
Steve.
No,
oh, yes.
He looks great.
Oh, my.
Of course he does. But for people that want to watch their sugar intake, xylitol is often the sugar substitute. So now you've got xylitol in those brownies. They're brownies, so they're chocolate.
And that's bad to begin with.
Yeah, that's the point. So they are in a surprising number of products. Sugarless candies, for example. Sometimes dogs will actually get into that. So peanut butter is the big one, though. So peanut butter can have xylitol. So we want to have our pets have no salt peanut butter, low fat peanut butter. Sometimes, though, those peanut butters don't taste so great. So to please us, to please people, they put xylitol in.
So is xylitol in regular peanut butter or just low fat or diet?
It's in sugarless peanut butter.
Sugarless peanut butter.
Yeah, sugar-free
peanut butter.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
And sometimes,
I mean, that could be an easy mistake.
Yeah.
What dog doesn't like peanut butter?
Right.
Right.
And as Dr. Teller indicated, this is incredibly toxic. So calling one of those hotlines or calling a triage service for something like that, that is way different and perfectly understandable.
Right.
As compared to, because your vet may not be there at 3 in the morning. Who do you call?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, of course.
So, and they'll have answers for you. However, contacting, I think my pet has been sick because of this, or my dog is limping. Why is that so? Or on and on and on. Having a veterinarian that's never met your pet before, never met you before, is hugely problematic. And it's being marketed.
But you wouldn't establish a relationship with this online vet, would you?
No, you can't. That's the thing.
Like it's a one-shot deal.
Yes. So if you want to get them back, good luck, you know, to do a follow-up. That's not going to happen.
Wow.
This is not a good. Telemedicine can be hugely helpful. Dr. Teller gave an example. With your existing veterinary practice, another example is for behavior, which is what I'm all about. So the cat is thinking outside the litter box. It can take an hour to have that discussion in the exam room, but using telemedicine, it still takes an hour maybe, but that time can be set aside. Veterinarian doesn't need to use an exam room. You don't need to go to the vet. It is the perfect use of telehealth.
Okay, I'm going to ask you something, and you've got like 90 seconds to answer it. This article said, telehealth can be great for pet parents, but only with VCPR. What is VCPR?
Dr. Teller.
That is the veterinarian-client-patient relationship.
Ah.
So that is the relationship that you are the veterinarian is establishing with you, the pet owner, and the patient is your pet. And so we really believe that that first visit should be done in person, and then telemedicine can be used appropriately for follow-up visits.
So it's a thing.
It is a thing.
Like a license almost or something. If you have VCPR certification or something like that.
Well, no. If you have a relationship with your veterinary practice and that veterinarian, your veterinarian knows you, sure, go crazy doing the follow-ups. It can help everybody to use virtual as we both have described. However, these third-party direct-to-consumer companies, for the most part, you're not going to have that.
No.
And you're not going to have any control. They're not going to know you. They're not going to know your pet.
Well, you had those letters capitalized, and I thought it was a thing. We're going to do more. That's an ad, obviously.
That's the problem.
That's an ad for an online vet.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That I saw on YouTube.
It's easy, it's fast, but it's not accurate.
And I am guessing that's international, although I don't know for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you really can't tell, except for some obvious clues, when you're... Or stereotypical clues, let's put it that way.
Yeah, you know, people get upset, I do anyway, sometimes when I talk to someone, and I'm just being honest here, I'm calling the airlines or whatever
it
is.
Right.
And I'm talking to someone who I can barely understand from another country. I mean, you wonder if these people are up to date on our medicine or not, not to mention that they may not be licensed in America, which makes it all kind of not legal.
720 WGN, John Landecker, we're in the midst of a discussion about virtual veterinarians with, obviously, Steve Dale. We all know him and love him. And as an extra bonus, Dr. Lori Teller is with us here at 720.
It's a huge bonus.
It's a huge bonus. It's a bonus.
She's the past president.
Wait, did you want to say anything more about this virtual vet thing? What?
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, so I want to be clear about this. So the American Veterinary Medical Association, first of all, has been talking to me about this because the AVMA feels that it's important to communicate to the general public that there are huge concerns about this if there is no veterinary client-patient relationship, the VCPR you talk about.
Right.
If that doesn't exist, that makes an enormous difference. However, telehealth, and Dr. Teller can pick up on it, or virtual care can be a wonderful thing. In fact, I think the AVMA has been saying that even before the pandemic, Dr. Teller.
Yes, we have. We've been saying it for years. And we have a tremendous resource center on our website at avma.org. So we definitely encourage veterinarians to use it. We encourage our clients to use it with their veterinarians. Another example of when we use it a lot is for chronic disease management. So if you have a diabetic cat, sometimes you need to see that cat in the clinic and do full blood work and exams. But in between, if you have a cat that's pretty stable, there's ways for an owner to monitor the blood glucose at home. And we can do telemedicine to follow up on that. So there's so many opportunities for us to do telemedicine with our clients within that established VCPR. And I just don't want people to get caught up in these advertisements like what you're playing from YouTube and get fooled to thinking they're getting appropriate care from their pet when it really may not be the most appropriate thing.
So if I wanted to find one of these vets, how would I do it?
You don't want to.
No, I know, but I'm devil's advocate.
Oh, they're not. They come to you. It's being marketed in such a way, as I said, if you buy a car. But, I mean, so many ways.
Okay.
For example, I just
got... Like an app?
I just got a note, yes. I just got a note from a pet insurance company, you know, a press release. You know, we get these press releases, John, right? Doing what we do. And by the way, a benefit of buying this pet insurance is you, for 1 year, have free telehealth. But what they don't say is that it truly is not going to be beneficial to your pet. And arguably, in my view, this is my view, Dr. Teller, can be downright dangerous. So I am out there talking, trying to warn, as a public service, really, consumers that, yes, telemedicine, as described by Dr. Teller, is a great thing. We can use technology in a way we hadn't thought about before. The AVMA, as pointed out, has been saying that for years. However, these direct-to-consumer providers generally are a concern of mine, if not a downright problem, doing more harm than good. I mean, the argument has been in part some care is better than no care.
Right.
Well, no, not if it's
bad.
Not, yeah, exactly.
Right.
If it's bad care, that's no.
Bad care is bad care.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said earlier, the televet is not acquainted with you, is not acquainted with the pet. And to me, it seems, I mean, in the emergency situations you were talking about, where you're hundreds of miles away and something bad happens to an animal and you need an immediate consultation with somebody, that seems great.
Yes.
But other than that, I don't see any way that this thing is worthwhile.
Yeah, but people are jumping onto it because it's inexpensive.
Oh, that's what I asked you earlier.
Yeah,
it is inexpensive.
Yeah, it's not. Well, first of all, some of these programs you get a year trial free or whatever because they want you to jump on board. But once you jump on board, it's not particularly...
But if your dog or cat or whatever pet you had doesn't have an emergency, what would you go to the televet for?
People do because they want, it's like instant soup we want, right? We want an answer. We want a miracle drug. We want something. And we are so connected to our animals.
Yeah.
And on top of that, if you can't get in to see your veterinarian, which does happen, you feel so desperate. So I understand what pet parents are thinking completely. However, this is not generally at all beneficial to our pets, in my opinion.
And my dog doesn't like it. I know that. I can just hear Colt barking his head off.
But it can be useful.
You know what would be more effective is for pet insurance to cover a telemedicine visit with your own veterinarian.
Great.
Oh, with your own veterinarian.
Yes. Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr.
Well, okay, so you're at one end, but then your veterinarian has to have made it known that they are also available via televet.
So many veterinarians, increasingly veterinarians are doing this. And what I want, and
that makes sense.
Yes. And I think what Dr. Teller wants is the same. We want every veterinarian on the planet doing this with their clients.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do veterinarians think about this?
Veterinarians doing it with their own clients really like it for the convenience and efficiency that it can bring to our workday.
Right.
Veterinarians are not very impressed with these direct-to-consumer platforms because it ends up fragmenting care. So if I'm seeing a client and I'm treating it for its arthritis or something, and maybe the medicine I put it on gives it an upset stomach, and instead of them calling me, they go to one of these direct-to-consumer sites, and they may end up with the completely wrong treatment to deal with that because it's a medication side effect. So it could be a real problem.
Well, What's more, making the problem even worse, that company, that provider, doesn't contact, typically, Dr. Teller to say, oh, this is what we did. So you're relying on the client telling you, and if things do seem to be fixed, you never even hear about it.
Can these televets prescribe medication?
In some states they can, and it's a problem because sometimes we'll see the wrong medication prescribed. Sometimes they'll prescribe antibiotics when the problem doesn't really warrant antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're all concerned about resistance, bacteria that get resistance. And so when antibiotics are prescribed inappropriately or the wrong antibiotic is prescribed, then unfortunately we can make those resistance problems worse. Whereas if you had gone to see your veterinarian and gotten the right medication, we would not be having those subsequent problems.
Gotcha. So,
and some drugs are a controlled substance in some states, in some states they aren't. But that veterinary professional might be licensed in another state, but you have no way of knowing
that veterinary professional who's a televet and is prescribing, doesn't that person know that they're walking the edge of responsibility, for lack of a better term?
I can't necessarily comment on that. I don't know. It's unfortunate. You know, people like to work.
No, of course.
You know, I don't know the answer to that question. But again, some of
ethically.
Yeah, I don't know, Dr. Teller. I mean, that's a very good question and one I can't answer.
It is a great question. And we've seen it on the human side, and there have been lots of news stories about it where doctors go work for some of these teledoc kind of companies where they're getting medical care, and then the doctors are pressured to prescribe certain medications, and those medications may not be the best choice for that patient.
Okay.
But the companies get a bigger profit when those particular drugs are sold.
Got it.
That's true.
Get some rock and roll, tell of that.
I think that, well, I like that.
Well,
sure,
it's just,
you know what kind of music, that studies have been done.
Yes.
What kind of music relaxes dogs? And Dr. Laurie Teller, past president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, is right here. What kind of music relaxes dogs, tones down anxiety more than any other genre? First is classical, and the second is actually, according to at least one study, reggae music.
Do they think they're high?
It gives a whole new meaning to Marley and Me, right?
Nice one!
Thank you.
Very
thank
good,
you.
Very good.
I play here all night,
That's good, Steve.
Thank you.
Do they list various other kinds? Do they do percentages like classical's the best, and then reggae's the next, and then and so on and so on?
Maybe Dr. Teller has seen that. I have not, according to the studies here. And there is music that you can get online specifically composed for cats or dogs.
Does that work?
You know what? Anecdotally, yes. And according to the musicians, I mean, it's specifically composed to what dogs or cats hear best. And according, there's a composer who does nothing but this. Of course, he scratches at his rear end a little.
Now, come on. How does he know what they want? Come on.
They
don't make requests. Wait, how does he know?
They do. Ask your producer to answer the request line and you'll see.
No, you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
I'm talking about the cats making the requests. How do they know the guy that's producing the music for the cats, how does he know
what
they are?
Their hearing is different than ours. The register is different.
Oh,
and
yeah.
What excites them seems to be different than us. And a higher tone or key, I don't know musician language, higher notes, seems to excite them. In the middle, it seems to relax them. But I cannot answer that as well as the people that compose it.
Right. I've never heard that, I've known you a long time.
Yes, you have.
Learn something new every time.
I didn't know
that there were people out there composing animal music.
That would be a perfect guest for your show.
Yeah, I'd like to hear some of it. While we have a few minutes left, I did want to tell you about this story that I came across about a staff at a wildlife center in Virginia, Richmond, Virginia. There is a baby fox, which is called the Kit, I understand, right? Kit?
Yeah.
Who was orphaned and needed care. And they wear red fox masks, the vets do, and rubber gloves, and they have a large stuffed animal fox that looks like her mother, allegedly. And I hadn't heard of that before. The picture is, a vet with a full tilt fox face head on.
Mm-hmm. So when pets or animals, I'm sorry, and Dr. Teller, you could chime in if you'd like. This is my knowledge of this. When animals are very young, they instantly bond. And that's not exactly the right word. There's a better word. I'm trying to think of it.
But they imprint.
Thank you. That's it. Yes. She wins. Of course she knows. So they do. And in fact, you know about this apparently, so I'll let you talk about it, Dr. Teller, if you'd like.
I don't know this story, but I agree with where you were going. They don't want this fox to imprint on humans because they want to be able to turn it back into its natural environment. So they want it to imprint on what it thinks is a fox.
Right.
So that it will better socialize when it's turned back out.
Well, I thought it was a really great thing. I had just never seen
that
it before.
It is wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They do this with all kinds of species now. Yes.
They have a collection of masks and heads in the office, just in case a bear comes in or something.
I think the Chinese do this with giant pandas, for example. And they have a panda suit, a whole suit
that
they actually wear. And I don't know how that, you know, Dr. Teller, you can comment on this, but I don't know how they, because animals live by the odor, so they're still smelling a human being. So I don't know.
Right.
But, and it's done with birds of prey and such all the time. So they have a beak, they wear this mask and they have a long beak.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea, as Dr. Teller is saying, is so they don't imprint on humans. It's the best we can do, and therefore more likely be introduced to the wild.
Wow. Well, we've got about 2 minutes. How want to take it? What do you want to fill it with?
Well, here. So I could tell you a story.
Okay.
And Dr. Teller, this is one you've not heard before, I don't believe.
Okay.
It's about a dog named Petunia, who is now in the Guinness World Record book. And everyone's trying to figure out, because they're puppies who were born just last week. It's peculiar because they all have six legs and three tails.
What?
And they meow like a cat and have gills to help them swim underwater.
I smell setup.
No.
Uh-huh.
It turns out the experts feel the father, the experts and also Maury Povich, the father is a catfish. And one more thing.
Hold on a second. Okay. Yeah, one more thing.
April Fools.
What? You know what day it is?
It's not... Well, I'm not going to be here that day, so I'm thinking ahead.
Wow. Yeah, you are.
That was the last time he's going to have me on the show, I tell you that.
That was very detailed.
Yes, well.
I mean, the animal had so many different facets from so many different species.
Yes, even Dr. Teller was stumped, I think, on that
indeed.
One.
Yes.
I do want to say that...
Well, maybe you're going to have to redeem yourself from that one.
I don't know how. But I can say this. For more information about what we've been talking about, avma.org.
Mm-hmm.
And it's truly my honor to be on with Dr. Teller, because the American Veterinary Medical Association, located right here in Schaumburg, by the way.
Very good.
Yep. Has been doing so much for so many years for companion animals. Veterinary professionals know about it. Pet parents may not. But all of this makes a difference to your pets. And don't be ripped off by marketing.
Very good. 331 text, new format music for pets on WDOG.
I like it.
Susan from 847 says, dogs like talk radio.
I think so.
Yeah.
Particularly this show.
Don't want to comment on that. Dr. Teller, thank you so much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure.